a great and a mighty thing is happening around the world. We might not be able to fathom it, we might not understand it, but it still doesn't change the fact that it is happening. And the translation of the church is getting closer and closer. I talk to my people right out of my heart so often because I want them to understand so that Satan don't trip them up and then they be disappointed. You know, I have a lot of people, they come to the house of God and they have in their minds or their thoughts, Brother Pike has that message. This is the way they think. And I've checked this thing, and I know that that's that message. And I'm going to hear that message. And I'm going to get that message, and I don't care what comes or goes. I'm going to stick it out, and I'm going to get that message. But so far as being one of the brothers or one of the sisters, so far as being part of the body or being part of the membership, so far as surrendering their spirit or submitting themselves one to another to become part of the union of this great body of Christ, they don't do that. They can't do that because they, first of all, have not made the proper contact with God to be able to do that. They don't have the strength to do that. But they feel that if they can just get a hold of that we're preaching, that will do it, because they know that that's that last day message. But you know, that is so childish. Don't you know that God isn't going to give you that message? You could listen at it from now until they put you in a coffin. And then if you was to be resurrected after all of those years, you would know nothing about the message of God. Because knowing and understanding the message of God is not hearing the preacher preach. The Bible said, let him that hath an ear hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. You could hear the preacher preach from now on, but unless you are hearing the Holy Spirit or the God that is speaking from within his temple, you haven't received anything concerning the message. You know, this is the great mistake that Brother Branham's following made. Did you know that? Not only his following, but Luther's following and Wesley's following and all down through the years, many others. That's the same mistake. They've got the letter. Men have come along. There's great men, great women. They've got the tutoring as far as the word. But they didn't understand. They didn't understand. They still don't understand. Even Solomon said, with all of your wisdom, get some understanding. They didn't understand. See, it's no good. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, Solomon prayed, Father, give me wisdom. No, Solomon never prayed, Father, give me wisdom. You don't find where Solomon prayed, give me wisdom. Solomon prayed, Father, give me an understanding heart. That's what he prayed. And so then his wisdom was so great that it was not excelled because of the understanding heart. When I prayed to God, I prayed for the same thing. Father, give me an understanding heart for the purpose, not a selfish purpose, but for the purpose that I might help your people. Let's read just a little bit from the book of Revelation. The fourth chapter, the first verse. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet, talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their head crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne there were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf. And the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within, and on the backside sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the 4 beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the 4 beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hath redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them I heard I saying, Blessings and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the 4 beasts said Amen, and the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Looking at this, understanding the book of Revelation, so far as the continuity of it, having read it numbers of times, been through the book of Revelation, I don't know how many times, I've got some idea of the continuity of this in what the Lord is trying to say to us, just so far as the writings. But beyond the writings, there's always the revelation. I want to say this again. People who have the idea that they're coming to the house of God to learn the word, and then after that, that's all. That's all. They're never going to make it into the kingdom of God. Those people will never make it into the kingdom of God. It's sad to say that. But as I said a little bit ago, there are hundreds and thousands of people, Wesley's followers, Luther's followers, Brother Branham followers, and many other great men, their followers, There are millions of people that are the followers of great men, and those men having been men that God spoke to. They are great men, and God spoke to them. And the followers have learned their doctrine to the extent that they understand principally what they were trying to say so far as an intellectual application. But look at the condition of the church of today. Why is it that the church of today is in the state of apostasy that we see it to be in? And why is the church of today in the spiritual condition that it is in if they understood what the great men of yesterday said? If the people, the following, and their children have understood and followed those great men, why is it today that the church is in such terrible condition? There can be only one answer. If those men were great men, and those men were anointed of God, and those men were sent of God, then it means that the people intellectually heard what was being said, but they did not move into the Spirit of God. They were not born again. They never considered the fact that God was in the arrangement. And so then today, they have as a church a group of reprobates. They never considered the fact that the great Holy Spirit raised up those men and sent those men to preach the gospel. They never realized that it was the unction of the Holy Spirit that caused the church to be born at Pentecost. Look at the apostles. Look at the great church of 3,000 that they set up on the day of Pentecost. But look just a few years following. Look at the state of apostasy that it fell into when the great leaders of Rome came together and tried to take the church into their own hands through their intellectual reasoning. Look at the condition of it for many, many hundreds of years. And look at the church of today, where, as the Bible said, there shall be light in the evening time. It's just now coming around to the place to where we're beginning to realize the wrong and the injustice that's been done to the church of the living God. It's just now that we're beginning to see it and beginning to understand. As a matter of fact, the Washington for Jesus meeting, rather than calling the people to repentance, 18 months, the leading ministers of the nation got together, processed everything to have this great meeting that they themselves might come together to confess their shortcomings, their sins, and their wrongs to the audience and tell them what an injustice they had done to the people. It is a true fact that if God is a spirit and if God is the one that is inspiring the church of yesterday, then we as a people of today are going to have to get in touch with the Spirit. It's not by power, it's not by might, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. We're going to have to realize that there is an invisible Spirit, not as some of the ministers of today that call themselves deliverance ministers, that are playing games and running people through, as I say so often, like a herd of cattle. Not like a bunch of playboys that wants a lot of fame and attention to turn the church into something to get money out of. just to have television programs and to have more television stations, more radio stations and great enterprises of the world. Not that kind of thing. But we're going to have to get the Spirit in it. Get God in it. Amen. Not to be that kind of people, but to be a God people filled with the Spirit of the Lord. The Bible said to be filled with the Spirit. That we are to be filled with the Spirit. In the early church, the Bible said that they prayed and they were filled with the Spirit. They constantly prayed. They were filled with the Spirit of God. They walked in the Spirit. They come together because they were spiritual people. They had a spiritual desire. They were not interested in the things of this world. They were interested in the things of God. To me, this is what we need. We need to come together in the Spirit of God, and we need to be filled with the Spirit of God, and our ambition and goal needs to be the Spirit of God, that we might bring God into the sight of the people. When you don't live holy, and you don't walk holy, and you don't talk holy, God is not seen. God is not seen. God is a spirit. What kind of spirit? The Spirit of holiness. And when you have your fruits under holiness, then God is seen in your life. God is the great light. And the Bible said, so let your light shine that other men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, we need to come together as a holy people. As a godly people, not as a group of people, to see who can get the most people and see who can have the greatest number, but rather to see who can be the most holy people. Not more holier than thou, as it was with some of the Jewish people in a hypocritical manner, but I mean to go on to perfection. To live holy, to be godly, to really be filled with the Spirit of God, to live an overcoming life. That's what God wants us to do. And until we do that, we're not going to please God. Until we get filled with the Spirit, we're not going to do anything for God. We're never going to be able to evangelize the world or to captivate the attention of the world as long as we go out to the ball games with the world, as long as we go out to the hippie parades with the world, and as long as we go out to the frolics with the world, then the world's going to count us part of them. They're not going to see any light. They're not going to have any spiritual desire. All you're going to do, folks, is wind up being part of the world and perish with the world. And all of it pass away together. For the Bible said, if the love of the world is in you, the love of the Father is not there. There must be a difference between God's people and between the people of the world. There is a worldly people. There is a world for worldly people. And there is a godly world, and there is a godly people. And there is a difference between the two. You know, men need to preach the gospel. They need to preach the gospel. Billy Sunday, though he was a Baptist preacher back in his day, he preached hard. If you've ever read after him, you know that he preached hard. He preached hell, fire, and brimstone. He preached hard. He said some of you preachers will stand up and say, folks, you're going to a place that I don't hardly know how to say it. He said, I know how to say it. You're going to hell. And when they went to give him his license, they said, can you answer this? He said, no. So can you answer this? I don't know. Can you answer this? No. Some fella sitting nearby said, why don't you give the man his license? Said, you know, there ain't another preacher in the country like him. Stop this foolishness. That's what we need. We need somebody that loves God, somebody that'll preach the truth, and somebody that will lead the people on into Canaan. Billy Sunday made some strong statements. Isn't that right? If you've ever read after him, you know it's right. He made some strong statements. He said a lot of preachers spent all of their time trying to pacify a bunch of silly old dames, as he called it in that day. Silly old women. You know, it's a little bit different today, but the Bible said of this sort are they that creep into houses and lead silly women astray that's laden with divers lusts. You know what they're trying to do? Trying to get somebody to make their will out to them, because they figure that the old person is about ready to die and they're a little younger, and if they can get them to give them their money, that they can really live it up before they die. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Can you think of a worse weasel than that? Somebody say amen. I can't think of a worse weasel than that. What we need to do is to have some kind of love for humanity. Some kind of love for God's people. Not only God's people, but we ought to have love for the people out yonder in general. You know, even if you got a dog in the yard, you know he's a dog, you ought to be willing to throw him a biscuit. After all, he's your dog. Amen. God did create those people that are in the world. And the Bible does tell us that God sends the rain on the just and on the unjust. And that God does feed the hungry lion. And God does take care of those people out there in the world as well as he does us. Therefore, we should be merciful. We should be loving. We should be kind. We should be understanding. Isn't that right? We should pay those people the indebtedness when we make an agreement with them. We should not say, well, that bunch of renegades out there, they don't need it. Besides that, how are we ever going to be a light to them if we don't treat them right? But at the same time, we shouldn't use that for a hobby horse. To ride a hobby horse to say, well, I'm going to have a good name. They ain't going to number me with that group of people over yonder that's called Christians, and get off on the other end of it and want to separate ourselves because of our fleshly zeal and pride, thinking that we're something when we're nothing, when we're nothing but just a big bag of bones to be thrown in a hole so the skin worms can eat us. And most likely won't even have the money to pay your insurance. Somebody will probably have to put you there if you're going with that attitude. But what we need is to love the Lord. Love the Lord. John said, I saw a door that was open in heaven. I saw this door. I saw this door, John said. I wonder if you've ever seen that door. How many of you know today that there's a door that's open in heaven? There is a door that's open today. That door is open in heaven. When Jesus hung at Calvary, when Jesus died, he opened a door. And that door today is standing open to me, and it's standing open to you. And we have the opportunity to enter into heaven through that door. Jesus said, I am the door. I am the door to the sheepfold. There's a door between heaven and earth, a door that's open in heaven. We have the opportunity to go there. Even we, as we would say, that we'd be natural minded. We can look at the natural things of life and understand the thing that Shepherd did when he broke through the gravitational powers of earth, when he became a doorway that men from this world might enter into the world of the galaxies. We can see by that we're living in the day of the open door. This is the day of the open door. God has opened a door in heaven. And even though it was opened at Calvary many long years ago, yet, beloved friend, it's just at this time that we're beginning to recognize it. It's just at this time that people are beginning to see it. And they're beginning to know that they have a great opportunity. And they need to do something about it. I'm so glad this morning that I've been able to see the door open in heaven. I'm glad that I'm a Christian. I'm glad that I'm still living in America. There's still a great freedom in America that they don't have in some other places. Even though I can't praise America the way that one time you could have praised America, because she has stooped in such evil and she has turned away from God's word, yet there's still a greatness about America. There's still a freedom in America that some of the other places don't have. I'm glad that I'm in America, to where I can worship God, to where we can come to church on this Sunday morning and we can get together and you and I can talk about Jesus and we can talk about the love of God and we can lift our voices in praise to Christ and we can tell others about Jesus around the different parts of the nation and the world. I'm glad that I'm a Christian. I'm not sorry that I'm a Christian. I'm not trying to hide myself from the Christian people to try to gain some kind of false prestige that the world is offering out there. As a matter of fact, to be honest with you, if you'll look a little closer, you'll find out that men that are lawyers and men that are dentists and men that are doctors and men that are in offices that are celebrities, those men see that the world has become so rotten with the hippie organizations and the powers that are out there in the world that they become so wretched that they themselves don't desire to be numbered with it anymore. And they're trying to become religious and they're trying to be numbered with the church and they're trying to move in and say, I'm part of the church. Because that is so bad out there that it's getting to where some people don't want to even do business with them that are in the world. Did you know that? There's people that say, I'm sure glad to do business with you folks, knowing that you're from a church. Somebody say, I love Jesus. You run out there, say, bless God, I'm not going to be numbered with them people over there. You know, the world loveth its own. I'm not going to be numbered with them Christians out there. I'm not going to be numbered with them people out yonder. I'm going to be numbered with the world. But did you know that even those that are in business, some of those that would take a man for everything, is beginning to get religious so that they can ease in and pray off of the things of the world because they see them tilted a little bit toward the church. Oh, you say, Brother Pike, you don't know what you're talking about. I know what I'm talking about. You don't know what you're thinking about. That's what the problem is. I know exactly what I'm talking about. They're beginning to press in that they can go under religious guys to be able to get to the goodies of the world because they've been cut off from them. Satan's been cut off from them. Did you know that? That's what's happening. The Bible said when the church started out of Egypt, God impressed the hearts of the Egyptians and they gave them their gold and they gave them their silver. And they gave them their jewelry and they gave them everything. Why did they do that? Because they saw the plagues of Egypt. Today they're seeing the disease. They're seeing cancer. They're seeing everything. And they're seeing it fall on the people of the world. And the Bible said in that day there'll be no healing medicines. They're seeing the hospitals fill up. They're giving all of their money to them, but they're still not being healed. So they're saying, let's go to a divine deliverance campaign. Let's give our offering to the evangelists. Let's give our money and our wealth to the church. And maybe this thing will move from us. Like when they took the Ark of the Covenant away from the children of Israel and they couldn't worship it. They wanted to be religious. They took it away from them. Said, well, we found out that everywhere that Ark of the Covenant goes, God's with them people. Now he's with us because we took it. And they tried to worship it. But they didn't worship it in the beauty of holiness. They didn't worship it after God's word. They had their intellectual reasoning. They had their old paganistic priesthood. Just like they've got today. They hatch them out of seminary and everywhere else. And then they take God's ark or the word of God. And they try to worship it and try to serve it. Through their paganistic practices. And plagues and diseases are falling on them everywhere. They can't get enough money to pay for the medical expense. And finally, those people back there said, we better get rid of this thing. This thing's working in reverse. We better get rid of it. We better go back to our worldly state of affairs. We better get rid of this thing. Some of their dignitaries said, I'll tell you one thing. Said, if you send the Ark of the Covenant back to Israel, you better put an offering in there. That's all they know to do. And they put some offerings in there. And that's the way they're doing it today. They want to give this thing back to us, but say, we better give you an offering. We feel like we sin against God. You better pray for us. But I'll tell you something, folks. This thing is real. You're going to have to get your spirit into it. Your spirit, my spirit, our spirit is going to have to get into this thing and worship God in spirit. God is a spirit. It doesn't matter how many churches you have. When you see people set up churches and then people start putting pool rooms in the basement for something to entertain the children with, and people start in the churches I'm speaking of, start getting ball teams, don't you know that they've missed God? That's not being spiritual. That's not understanding God. How can you as a spiritual person worship a ball game? The world loves its own. That's part of the flesh. That's not things of the spirit. What has a ball game got to do with the spirit? I wish somebody would tell me what a ball game's got to do with the spirit. That's of the world. All of those things are of the world. Those frolics are of the world. All of that that's of the world. Jesus said, you give to Caesar that that belongs to Caesar. When that hypocrite come over there and he said, good master, I'd like to ask you a question. Whereas he could have said, I'd sure love to trip you up and get your head in a noose. But he come in a religious way. I'd love to ask you a question. Should we or should we not pay tribute to Caesar? Jesus said, let me see what you got. When he handed it to him, he said, whose superscription is this? He said, it's Caesar's. He said, you give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and you render to God what belongs to God. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Somebody said, well, there you see, Jesus was honoring the government. And Jesus was saying, give what belongs to the government to the government. Jesus knew the government didn't own that. He knew Caesar had him a little private enterprise just like the government of today's got. He said, you give what belongs to Caesar to Caesar. He didn't say anything about it belonging to the government. That's the way it is today. You get a president in, you get a dignitary in, it don't belong to the government. Give it to the president, it belongs to the president. They're the ones that's getting the money. They're the ones, the leaders in the White House. They're the ones that's getting it. It's the same way in the church. Say, we got a treasure back there. We're heaping up this treasure. We're keeping it together because it belongs to our great organization. It belongs to our people. Why, folks, you're foolish. You're foolish. You great denominational followers, you're foolish people. That money don't belong to you. It belongs to those preachers. And just a few of them, because the rest of them booted out. They're satisfied to get a little retirement plan. Somebody say, I love Jesus. And somebody said, to sop a little syrup. So they feel like they're not cut out. Then who does the money belong to? It belongs to the great ecclesiastical leaders that's got control of the church. That's why when we set up our work, we set up as a non-capitalistic work, to see that there was no treasuries built up so that men could get around it like a bunch of buzzards around an old dead dog. That money don't belong to you. The money in the government don't belong to you. Even the Social Security, they're beginning to cut you out of that after they collected that all these years. Supposed to paid it back to you, and look what they've done. The same way for the local concerns. Look at the local concerns. Welfare, do you get it? No, you don't get it. You just need something from the welfare and go to get it and see. Somebody said, well, you don't know what you're talking about. Yes, I do. I remember many, many years ago when Betty and I had a need. We never did go to the welfare of nobody. We went through a town. This patrolman, a religious fella, a good man, said, y'all got a need. Said, we got a welfare here. Said, we want to help you. I didn't care for that kind of thing. But he insists, notice what we got it for. Went down there, they couldn't help us. Didn't have the funds. It upset him, said, you need to close this place up. The law told him that. Said, if you can't do nothing to help nobody, close the thing up. Said, what are you doing getting a salary out of it? That's the way it is, folks. What is it? The devil in his system, he's blinded the eyes of the church people. With his little gimmicks, he's blinded the eyes of everyone. You know why? Because the people haven't got in touch with the Spirit. John said there's a door open in heaven. This is the day of the open door. You can go through. You can see those things that are in heaven. Like the vision I had. When I looked at those things in heaven, you can see those things. And folks, you can go through that door. You can get into that city because of Christ Jesus. But as long as you have the attitude that I'm just going to learn what that preacher knows about that revelation, I'm going to go my way, I'm going to learn this thing, and you get you an intellectual knowledge, an indoctrination, and you go to college, you'll never be anything but part of the world. Because that's all you've got. You've got an intellectual indoctrination. You've got an intellectual imprint of it. You won't change your ways. You won't live holy. You'll have the same haughty spirit, contrary spirit. When you cross up with your sons and daughters, when you cross up with your wife or your husband, you cross up with your neighbors, your creditors, you'll still have the same mean, haughty spirit you always had. You haven't got anything from God. You need to be born again. You need to be born to the Spirit of God. Get it down inside of your heart to where you can be tender, where you can be kind, where you can be sweet. Coming to church looking at the preacher with a nice grin on your face don't mean you got anything. Coming to church trying to be pious, that doesn't mean you got anything. But it's when you go away from the church and you serve God and you live holy and you talk about godliness. And you do like Joshua, you command your household after you and keep them away from ball games, picture shows, and all of the things of the world that would infiltrate their minds with the thing that is contrary to the word of God. The Bible said, if anything have any virtue in them, think on these. You should think on God's word. You should think on the virtues of Christ Jesus. You should think on heavenly things. Let your conversation be in heaven. Let your desire be in heaven. You know, I notice even here at the church, sometimes on Friday night, I can't even get through with the sermon quick enough. You got to get out of here. You done got your paycheck. You got to get out of here so you can get over here somewhere to a milkshake joint to get you a hamburger. It's got to be a routine with you. Sunday, it's the same way. I can understand people wanting to go out and refresh themselves. But did you know the Bible said in the last days that would be a devil? Somebody say, I love Jesus. I said in the last days the Bible said that would be a devil that people would follow. They'll be eating and they'll be drinking. You say, Brother Pike, is that a devil? It certainly is a devil. Anytime you get excessive and you're eating and drinking, that's a devil. The Bible said moderation in all things. When you get to be a routinist and you get to where when you come to the house of God, you're not going to share with God to make sure that you can get to that milkshake joint. It don't matter if the little child over yonder starved to death or somebody goes to hell as long as you get to the milkshake joint. Somebody say, I love Jesus. As long as you have money to ride around on next week, as long as you can buy the clothes you want to next week, as long as you can keep an extra dollar in the bank, don't you know you're going to hell for those things? Do you think God is such a God that he's so ignorant that he's going to take you to heaven? Somebody straining every muscle and nerve in their body trying to give to God and trying to do everything that they can. And the Lord speaking of the little widow that gave her very living and upbraided the rich man for what they done. And then you think you're going to pile up things. Do you think God is so ignorant as to go along with you on that? You ought to know better than that. Folks, you ought to know better than that. All of you ought to know better than that. You don't give God credit for much sense. You better remember he made you and me and he made the universe. My brother, you're going to have to get down to business with God. You say, well, what do you think I ought to do? All that you can do. How much can you do? All that you will do. Somebody say, I love Jesus. What we need to do is to serve the Lord. And I'll tell you something, when you get God in your heart and your spirit and God's spirit gets to be one spirit, my brother, you'll do all that you can and then look for another way too. I thank the Lord for his blessings. I tell you what, I pray that God will help me to do more. I feel like I'm doing so little. People that are trying to cut corners, they want to get to heaven, but they don't want to do nothing. They say, well, I want to be a Christian, Brother Pike. But you know, I don't see where this is necessary. And I don't see where that's necessary. And I don't see where this is necessary. And I don't think we have to do all of these things. Why, you hypocrite? Why don't you get out in the world and go have your good time out in the world? Enjoy sin for a season and quit being a religious hypocrite. And then when you get ready to serve God, come and make a change. That's the way to do it. And then if God don't kill you before you get back, you can come back and be a Christian. If he does, it's just your misfortune. You misjudge things. Stayed out too long. But there's one thing about it. If you really got God, you're not trying to cut corners. Brother, if you really got God, you're trying to figure out how much more you can do for God. You're not saying, I think that's too much, and I think this is too much. You're saying, my God, I'm coming short. Oh, God, I need to be more holy. My God, I feel so undone, Lord, help me. And you're always striving and struggling to be holy, to be righteous, to be pure, to see where you can pick up the loose ends and change things around. And you're saying, my God, don't let me think that thought. My God, don't let me have them kind of reflex. My God, let me be holy. Let every thought, God, every intent, God, every desire be so pure and so holy and so righteous. I love you so much, Jesus. I want to be like you so much, Jesus. Oh, I see you so greatly, Jesus, as the very thing that my very heart wanteth. And as the writer said, my heart painteth after thee. My heart painteth after thee, even as the heart of the deer-like creature, even as he doth the water brook. My soul painteth after thee, O Lord. I want to be like you. There's a door that's open in heaven. There's a door that's open in heaven. It's standing ajar today. And you and I can go into that door if we want to go into it. Jesus is the door. He said, I'm the door to the sheepfold. But folks, one thing we're going to have to do, and that's be spiritual. I say this to you this morning in the way of a little exhortation to let you know that you're going to have the Spirit of God. If you don't have the Spirit of God this morning, it doesn't make any difference. If you are a believer, you are still going to be lost. The Bible teaches that if you have not my Spirit, you are none of mine. You can believe all you want to. The Bible said the devil believes also. But if you don't have the Spirit of God, you're going to be lost. What you need to do is to get filled with the Spirit of God. You need the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Somebody says, but Brother Pike, some have the Holy Ghost, some don't have the Holy Ghost, and some believe, and some are filled with the Spirit, and some ain't filled with the Spirit. But as long as you believe, you're Christian. I don't know where you got such junk as that, because that's what it is. That's some junk Satan peddled to you. If you'll go back in the early church and show me anybody that God put in the church back there that wasn't a Holy Ghost person or didn't have the Holy Ghost, I'll come and apologize. The Bible said he added 3,000 to the church, didn't he? And then daily to the church such as should be saved, didn't he? And what was the first church and what was the command of Peter? Repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For it is unto you and your children, and to as many as be afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. That means as many as the Lord our God shall call. That's you, me, and everybody else. The Holy Ghost belongs to as many as the Lord our God calls, and God ain't going to call nobody without it. The Bible said you cannot say that he is your Lord except by the Holy Ghost. How are you going to say that he's your Lord by the Holy Ghost if you don't have the Holy Ghost? You can't call the Lord Lord by the Holy Ghost if you don't have the Holy Ghost. Folks, you need to get the Spirit of God. You need to quit this foolishness. You need to quit talking about this Baptist and Methodist and all these people going to heaven, and you know they're good people. And whatever I tell you in the name of the Lord, the Baptists are going to hell. All of them are going to hell. Every last one of them are going to hell if they don't have the Holy Ghost. And every last one of the Catholics, and every last one of the Methodists, and every last one of the Presbyterians, and every last one of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, as they call it, the UPC, and every last one of the Pentecostals, and the Church of God, and the Assemblies, and every last one of them that calls themselves a Christian, if they don't have the Holy Ghost, they're going to hell. All of them are going to hell if they don't have the Holy Ghost. God is going to send them to hell. Well, I don't believe that, Brother Pike. Well, that's all right. That's your doctrine. This is my doctrine. This is what God told me to preach. Said he that God sendeth will speak God's word. I'll tell you one thing. If that bunch of hypocritical preachers had a stayed out of the pulpit and not messed up the minds of the people with this thing about they could believe and they could do this, they didn't have to have the Spirit. That is, that God understood this. We wouldn't have a bunch of church people split up like splinters today. We wouldn't have dozens of different denominations with Church of Science and everything else. We wouldn't have that kind of thing. If they stayed in the Word of God, if they took one teaching, it's one teaching. That's God's teaching. He set up one church. There's no place where he ever set up another church. Just that one church. And he gave the formula for it. He gave the Word of God for it. And every one of them that goes through that door is going to have to accept what Peter said. Amen. Because he is the door. He's the door. And that door is open in heaven. We can go through it. The more I talk, the more I want to preach. And the more I preach, the more I want to talk. But I want you to know something, folks. If you don't have the infilling of God's Spirit, you are going to be lost. I don't care how much you believe. It's got nothing to do with it. If you don't have God's Spirit, it's a positive fact that you don't believe. So you can say you could believe all you want to believe. And you can say, I'm a believer this and I'm a believer that. But if you are a true God believer, God will send the Holy Ghost into your life. For the Bible teaches this is the seal of faith. The circumcision of our heart. Abraham was a believer. God gave him the sign of circumcision. Isn't that right? In the flesh. Therefore, if we are a believer, the Bible points to it saying that it is the circumcision of the heart, taking out the heart of stone or taking out the old spirit, putting in a new spirit. Write my laws upon the table of your heart. And my brother, if you are a true believer, then the Holy Ghost will come into your life and the Holy Ghost will fill your heart. And if you don't get that circumcision, you don't have the seal of his approval. And you can say, I'm a believer and I belong to the church and my granddaddy was a preacher. And all these years I've done such and such, but you and your granddaddy and all the others, if they don't have the Holy Ghost, will be in hell. Your granddaddy might have had the Holy Ghost and he might have made heaven and you might be trying to make it in thinking that your granddaddy didn't have the Holy Ghost. But I can tell you if your granddaddy was a preacher, Baptist, Pentecostal, Methodist, or whatever, if he didn't have the Holy Ghost, he went to hell. You love Jesus? Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, don't you remember the man on the cross? I certainly did. What about the man on the cross? Well, don't you know Jesus took him to paradise? He certainly did. And I said, well, he didn't have the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, this day shall thou be with me, who is Christ. Hallelujah. He said, when the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Christ comes back. And then besides that, as far as being baptized with the Holy Ghost had not yet been given. He couldn't have been filled with the Holy Ghost in the sense of the baptism. Jesus had to die before the Spirit could come back. But he was with him. Isn't that right? He was with them of the Old Testament. The Bible said they were moved by the Spirit of the Holy Ghost in the Old Testament. They couldn't have the baptism as a gift because a gift had not yet been given. You can't have something if it's not yet been given. Given means a gift. So then, we strain at a net and swallow a camel. Like to say that man went to heaven, he wasn't baptized. Jesus had not yet died for the remission of sin, my brother. Remission is in his name. He had to die before remission could be in his name. All the rest of them in the Old Testament slept. They slept, but they could not go into the kingdom of God. They could not go into heaven. There was a place of rest for them, but they could not go into heaven or into the kingdom of God until after Jesus died for the remission of sin and the door was open in heaven. And when Jesus opened the door, it was evident that that was true because he resurrected him from the dead. And the Bible said they that were in the Old Testament died there. They got up and walked around in the city and some of them saw him resurrected from the dead. So then we strained a net, swallowing a camel, trying to justify our theories or our doctrine, not willing to accept the word of the Lord Jesus Christ and wholesome words. Rest as we would to our own destruction, the teachings of Christ, because we refuse to listen to the truth. Having not a love for the truth, the Lord lets millions of them believe those things, become denominational powers, and die and go to hell. And they will die and go to hell before they change. And I'm going to close with these sayings. I made a statement last night. I said there's sober, sound men that are men of integrity, to the extent of the natural things of the world that belong to churches and religions, they will literally die and go to hell. They will die and be lost before they'll change their way of doing or change their doctrine or before they'll listen to you and see if what you're saying has any, makes any kind of sense or whatever. Some people, as I told somebody yesterday, some people never know nothing except what they think because they never listen to nothing else. They don't listen to nobody else. They don't take nothing that anybody else says in their mind. They're so sure that they've got it figured out from what they've thought on and what they've read and what they've considered until they've got in a rut and they don't ever listen to anybody else or anything else. Therefore, they're drafted to their own world, their own way of life, and they die and go to hell or they wreck up because they never get any bigger in their mind than their own thinking. Folks, it pays to listen sometimes. And especially to have a ear to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. There is a door that's open in heaven, and you can go through it if you want to, but you're going to have to do what Christ tells you to do. You're going to have His Spirit. If you have not His Spirit, then you're none of His. I want you to stand with me. I appreciate your kind attention this morning. I hope that something has been said in some way that will elevate your spirit and mind into the wonderfulness of Christ Jesus. If you'll get in God's spirit, go with God. If you'll get God's spirit in you, you'll come in here in your spirit, in my spirit, and the brothers and sisters' spirit will be one spirit in Christ. You'll learn to submit yourself one to another. You'll be one great body of Jesus. There'll be a great unity between you. There'll be a love of God flowing from breast to breast, and you'll find health and happiness and prosperity and peace like you've never found in all of your life. And you will be a happy people. Got a couple of bottles of oil here that they want us to pray over. There's three bottles. Pray over these and ask the Lord to anoint them. I say this so many times for those perhaps that have not seen nor heard. They say, well, Brother Pike, do you believe that God will anoint oil? I sure do. The Lord said, Moses, take your shoes off of your feet. The ground wherein thou standest is holy. God made that ground holy. You and I are made out of the dust. He said, be holy for I'm holy. He makes this ground holy. The trees that bear this oil, they come up out of that same dirt and they feed from that same soil that bear the little olive berries that produce this oil. Come up out of that same earth. Same way with your clothing, same way with anything. It's a production of Mother Earth. Therefore, God can do anything He wants to, folks. He can make it holy. When we pray that the Lord will anoint it. That is, He'll be considerate of it. Not that the oil will heal anybody. Not that. My body is made holy. Not that my body will heal anybody. That's not the purpose of it. But rather that my body might be holy, a vessel through which the healing virtue of God might flow without hindrance. Clean out the pipe so the water can get through. Put a filter over it so it won't be clogged up all the time, ruining everything that's in it. That's the thing that I'm getting at. You understand what I'm saying? Anything will freeze up unless you lubricate it. Isn't that right? If it calls for lubrication. So then, if we'd have a little more oil of gladness, I believe that it would cut down some of the friction between the members. I really believe it would. We wouldn't freeze up on the preacher all the time either. We'd be a little more agile toward him. Spiritually speaking. This all, as I say, the only healing potential it's got is just like when Elisha's bones lay in the grave and they throw the man in on his bones. The man was healed because, as the writer said, like fire shut up in my bones. That which is ordained of God to be holy absorbs virtue. It absorbs virtue. Ground can absorb virtue if it's ordained of God to absorb virtue. Though the spirit of Elisha had departed from the body, yet during the days of his pilgrimages, that spirit dwelt inside the Holy Spirit, having communication with His Spirit, the body had stored up virtue. And the way we bring healing to people is we store up virtue in our body, praying in the Holy Ghost, building up our most holy faith. Jesus said, I perceive that virtue went out of my body. The woman said, I feel I'm healed. Paul said, if anything have any virtue in him, think on these. Jesus went into the wilderness. He was driven into the wilderness. He returned in the power of the Spirit. He was driven in by the Spirit, led up of the Spirit, but he returned in the power. He had the Spirit before he went in. The Bible says he should receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. The original rendering, when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. One the same to this extent that what power is virtue. The Spirit is God within your heart. But if you don't surrender your body, if you don't let your body be holy, if you don't give your body to holiness and righteousness, you're not going to have any virtue in it. That's why a lot of you have so much trouble with your body, with your thoughts, with your mind, is you're not spiritual. All you think about is eating, drinking, resting, talking, riding, buying, selling, getting gain. You don't put no virtue in your body. As a result of that, if you're not careful, one of these days you'll be lost. The old body will overcome the inner man or inner woman. But let's pray, because the reason that we present this oil is for this purpose. Is that when they anoint somebody with oil, they're obeying the Bible. That's the act of faith, anointing them with oil. And the prayer of faith, not the anointed oil, as somebody would have you believe as they sell it to you over the radio. But the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And if they've committed any sins, it shall be forgiven them. Anointing them with oil, which is symbolic of the Holy Ghost. Therefore, that's why we pray that God would be considerate of it in the sense of making things holy, rebuking Satan from interference, dedicating something to God as a vessel. Let's pray the prayer of faith, and let's send this all out, that whoever's anointed with it, that the prayer of faith may save the sick from death. They've committed any sins, it may be forgiven them. Let's pray. Father of heaven, in the wonderful name of your lovely Son, Jesus. No, dear God, I ask you as I feel the Holy Ghost right now, to be considerate of me, Father. And oh, dear beloved Father of heaven, heal, dear God. And I feel you healing right now, wherever this all goes, whoever anoints with this all. Lord, let them believe. Let them believe, Father. Lord, let this all be upon those that believe. And oh, dear God, as the saints believe with me right now, as we pray together, Lord, you're going to heal, Jesus, and I feel you doing it right now. You're going to heal. I feel you healing in Jesus' name. Heal, Heavenly Father, as we hold it up to thee. Heal in the name of Jesus. Heal as people use this all to anoint with. Let the prayer of faith that we're praying right now heal the sick. Oh, God, if they've committed any sins, may it be forgiven them. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we ask it. Amen. Let's sing a little song together, can we? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like an eagle.